The scripture reading this morning is in the book of James, chapter 3, verse 13 through chapter 4, verse 12. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit is caused to live in us envies intensely? But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. This is the word of the Lord.
Don't forget to come back later. Well, we'll send a chariot for you to bring you back. All right, well, let us pray one more time as we come to God's word together. Lord, thank you for this book of Scripture that we call the Word of God. May they become to us the living words of Jesus. May your Spirit speak to us here in the Word, and as we prepare our hearts to meet you at the table. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of each one of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, today we get to talk about wisdom. I like to think that we are on some level talking about wisdom all the time when we are talking about Scripture because, well, it's kind of full of it. And James in particular has given us a lot of wisdom, a lot of things to mull over, and a lot of things to check ourselves on because he likes to kind of dig in to our hearts and our souls and the issues that maybe we struggle with. And today's text is no exception at all. So I want to begin today's reflection on Scripture with an exercise. I want to make you do some thinking, some digging into your own hearts as we begin the text, as we begin to look at this text today, so that you can kind of put a face on what we're trying to wrestle with. So, an exercise. I want everybody to close their eyes. It won't be super long because I know some of you maybe have low metabolism and need your eyes open to stay awake. But close your eyes, and I just want you to think about something or somebody that gets you riled up. Okay? And for you, that may have just triggered like a million things. And for some of you, you may just be like, I'm cool. Nothing gets me riled up. But wherever you're at, pick one. Whether you have to search for it or whether it's immediately evident to you. What gets you riled up? Maybe you'll have a picture of somebody's face in your mind, or a situation that's recently faced you that has gotten your dander up, proverbially. Who or what gets you riled up? Okay. 5 more seconds. Okay, you can open your eyes. Now try not to picture me as the person or thing that's got you riled up. I know I just told you to visualize, but I don't want any darts flying at me while I talk today. Okay, so we all have something or somebody. Okay, good. So the first question I want to ask is, am I putting energy into tearing them down? That could be internally. You could just be tearing them down in your mind, right? Maybe you're mulling it over. It could be revenge plots, or it could just be letting the frustration about a situation or a person dig into you far more than it probably should. Okay? Are you putting energy? Am I putting energy into tearing this person down, tearing this situation down? Am I becoming a little bit obsessed with this person or this situation? Third question, can I pinpoint what bothers me? Sometimes it's not so easy. Sometimes it's like, their face. I don't like that person's face, right? That may be a little shallow version. But can we pinpoint what it is that drives us nuts about a person or a situation? Can we figure it out? For some, you're like, I know immediately. Oh, didn't mean to click that. I know immediately what bothers me. That person reminds me of my mother. Ha! No. That person reminds me of the bully that used to beat me up or pick on me way back in elementary school, right? Can I pinpoint what it is that bothers me? Is it a particular trait or characteristic of this person or situation that bothers me, right? Is it just something that just, it's like nails on a chalkboard, right? Again, can I pinpoint it? You guys working on it? Pinpointing? Good. Good. Do they have something that I don't? Does this person have something that I don't? It could be a lot of things. It could be a big stretch for you to even think about this. Think of it as an appreciative inquiry of this person. What do they have that I don't? Are they fearless in a way that I could never be? Are they bold and honest in a way that I could never be? Are they rude in a way that I wouldn't probably allow myself to be? Oh, that's not appreciative, is it? but it is something, right? Do they have something that I don't have? Could be money. Could be status, could be a really nice job, could be a really nice car. Do they have something that I don't? And then the final question, could I be envious? On some level, might I be envious of this person? Not overall of their situation, but am I envious of their gifts, like of the gifts that they've been given? Have they been given something I don't think that they deserve, right? Or are they a person who has this level, appeared level of certainty that I just feel like I could never possess? Like maybe Donald Trump drives me nuts because he just seems to have the answer for everything. Whether it's wrong or not, he's confident about it, right? That's a weird example, but it's true. Or belovedness. Do you feel like this person is just loved by everybody and you don't feel like you get very much of that love? And it drives you nuts, and it makes you envious. Why do they get all the love and not me? the gears turning? Yeah? Are the wheels spinning? These are the sort of questions that were running through my mind as I read through this passage from James. The heading above verse 13 of chapter 3 is misleading to me. It says two kinds of wisdom. Instead of two kinds of wisdom, I'm going to call it wisdom and wisdom's imposter, whatever that is. Because it doesn't seem to be describing two kinds of wisdom. It seems to be describing wisdom and something that masquerades as wisdom. And James seems to be getting at this idea that this imposter of wisdom comes from a place of envy and selfish ambition. It comes from a place of envy and selfish ambition. Verse 14. If you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. There may be certain situations where it could be quite popular, quite satisfying to tear somebody else down. Right? There may be situations with a group of friends where, like, just ripping somebody two ways to Sunday, whatever, is acceptable and, like, might get you liked because, hey, everybody likes a good burn on the man or whoever it is. Do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic, or from the devil. So if we have wisdom, so let's say that we came up with a whole list of reasons why the person that drives me nuts, the entity that drives me nuts, is terrible. We came up with this list, and it's dehumanized the person. It has ripped them apart. It has questioned their motives. That sort of wisdom that's like, I don't want to be like that guy. I don't want to be like that lady. I don't want to have anything to do with that situation. That wisdom, that argument that we build up, right? People shouldn't be like that, like this, and this, right? And of course, there's behaviors that are not accepted or good. But the wisdom that comes from that place, the place of envy and selfish ambition, the place that we got to at the end of our exercise of, man, they actually do have something that I want, or they remind me that there's something in me that I'm hiding or running away from, right? Sometimes other people are a mirror to us, and a mirror that we can't see when we just look at ourselves. Am I a greedy person? I don't think so. But why does this other person acting greedy drive me batty? Is it because, well, maybe there actually is some greed inside of me, and I'm seeing myself, right? Sorry, I'm getting pretty heavy into psychology here, but it is how the world works. But wisdom's imposter comes from a place of envy and selfish ambition. The character obsessed with someone else is usually the villain. Right? Think about the stories you've read. Think about the movies you've seen. Is the protagonist generally obsessed with another person? I mean, maybe if it's one of the movies that were... you may have watched in preparation for Halloween, sort of not an anti-hero as opposed to a hero, but generally, those anti-heroes are actually villains, right? The villain is the one who's obsessed with somebody, right? The evil queen in Snow White and the Seven Dwarves is the one who's obsessed with how beautiful Snow White is, right? Snow White, yes, she appreciates it, but she's not obsessed with the evil queen, right? She's just living her life with her seven dwarves. Right? Happy, dopey, sneezy, slappy. No. Doc. When we become obsessed with somebody else, that is when we are getting into this envy and selfish ambition in our hearts. I've mentioned before how when I was a freshman in college, getting into this new environment, one of my coping mechanisms for feeling insecure around all these gifted people who were like, who had been training longer than me and maybe had better gifts for ministry than I did, or as I saw it, my coping mechanism was to rip people apart in my mind, right? Like, oh, I could do that. They got nothing. Why is that guy preaching in chapel? That should be me up there, right? It's ridiculous. But that was what I was doing, right? I was building up all these reasons why this person wasn't as good as me. And yeah, just give me a little time and I'll get there. That was demonic. I'll just say it. It was demonic. It was from the devil. That sort of attitude in my mind was not glorifying to God in any way. And I may have been able to come up with reasons why somebody else, blah, 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 blah. It's not wisdom. It's the imposter. Often our well-defended arguments and our jealous attacks are demonic. That is, they come from the devil. Not that like some demon spirit is living inside of you, maybe, but what I'm saying is that they come from the devil, right? They come from the enemy. They are lies. They may appear like wisdom, but they are imposters. Any good arguments that we come up with that are really rooted in our obsession with somebody else comes from the devil. What James says is that real wisdom, this is from verse 17, is pure and it is peacemaking. The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. If the wisdom we think we have is tearing us up inside and making us feel all insecure, making us feel like we got to lash out at somebody else, maybe it wasn't wisdom at all. True wisdom is pure. It comes from a place of peace. It comes from a place of sincerity and mercy. James then expands on the argument in chapter 4, but ultimately invites imposters. I don't know if you've put yourself in that category based on our exercise or not. I know I get there sometimes still. He invites us to repentance. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Do they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have. So you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. We envy, and our envy ultimately results in killing. And we may not actually physically act on that and actually murder somebody, but we're killing somebody in our mind day in and day out. Or we're killing somebody with our words, or we're killing somebody with the way we treat those people. Or we covet. We're jealous. We want something that somebody else has. And so we quarrel and we fight to get that. And what kind of an existence is that? You think a wise person is constantly consumed with envy and coveting and what everybody else has and what you don't? Is that the way to live? Now, again, we're tempted to say, oh, I know some people who are like that. No, no, no. This is about you. This is about me. Yes. Amen. What is it that I am envious about? What is it that I covet? And is it blocking me from God? You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. When you ask, you don't receive. Now, You may have seen this happen before in your work life, where somebody who embodied this imposter wisdom, who was really good at tearing other people down and making themselves look good in comparison, maybe made their way up in an organization by doing so. Maybe they became your boss. Yikes. Right? Maybe because of their willingness to throw ethics and character aside, we're able to step on the little guy and ascend to, you know, whatever, ahead of you. Right? That your employers may be fooled by that sort of stuff, but God assures us that he is not. God assures us that he is not fooled by fake wisdom. God will not be mocked. You don't receive when you ask because you ask with the wrong motives, right? That you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You may be crying out to God, asking him to, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz so I can drive around town in my awesome Mercedes-Benz and people can look at me and be super jealous. Amen. That was a very sincere prayer from the bottom of my heart, but it was asked with wrong motives, right? It's obvious when we put it that way. But I think we might pray with the wrong motives in a little more subtle ways, too. The point is, God is not fooled. God knows why we're asking for what we're asking for. God, give me this thing. Well, you just don't want to work for it. Oh, yeah, I know that, but please, God, just give me that. There's a lot of things, a lot of situations where that can happen. God is not fooled. But the good news is that even those who have become enemies of God are invited to repent. Don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Verse 4. Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. That is, when we're buying into this manipulative world of tearing other people down so that we can be built up, that puts us at enmity with God. But every one of us, even the worst enemies of God, are invited to repent. Verse 6, but he gives us more grace. He gives us more grace. And he shows us how to repent. Verse 7, submit yourselves to God. Submit. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Come near to God. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up higher and higher, and he will lift you up. Submit, confess, lament, grieve these attitudes. I have an example of this that is so trite and silly, but it is a very real one to me. So I'm a sports fan. You guys know that. So I've been a, you know, Chicago sports fan. I grew up an hour from Chicago. I've always been a Chicago sports fan. And the only sports organization that I ever really felt like was an enemy to me was the Green Bay Packers, okay? I grew up 15 minutes from the Wisconsin border. There are a lot of Packer fans and a lot of Bear fans, and it's heated, right? But a couple years ago, I realized that I was jealous of the Green Bay Packers. Like, why can't my team have a rival that just stinks? Why does my team have to be a rival with, you know, one of the most storied franchises in the NFL that kind of does things the right way and, you know, blah, 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 blah. They're really good. So I named this fact that I was jealous of the Packers, right? That, like, I hate the Packers so much because they're good, right? If they were the Jacksonville Jaguars, I wouldn't care about the Packers, right? It wouldn't bother me at all. But as soon as I said that out loud and started saying it to my friends, I'm like, yeah, I know, I'm just a jealous of the Packers. As soon as I started saying that, you know what? When I see green and yellow, it doesn't make me upset anymore. Can you believe that? No, I'm serious. Marcy doesn't believe me. She's looking at me like, pretty skeptical. This is a very recent development. But it doesn't bother me in the same way that it did before. It was like confessing that that was rooted in like an envy and all these things. It was like, it was almost like a little act of repentance. And that's such a tiny thing. And yet, it actually did, you know, like affect my emotions on Sundays because, you know, that's when the games are played. Submit, confess, lament. Maybe that's what we need to do. Not with the Packers, but with something else, right? Maybe there's something else in your life. You just need to submit. You need to confess to the Lord. Maybe it needs to be public that you've been harboring this in your heart towards somebody. Maybe you just need to go up to that person and say, you know, I got to apologize for how I've behaved towards you, how I've treated you, how I've talked about you behind your back. Maybe that confession needs to happen. Maybe you need to lament and grieve the fact that you've been doing this for a long time and you didn't even realize it. And that happens. We just get wrapped up in our own junk and we can't see it anymore. So maybe that process needs to happen. And the promise that James gives us, this beautiful, beautiful promise when we humble ourselves and do that, is that he will lift you up. When we lift ourselves up, well, we need to be torn down. We need to be taken down a couple notches. But when we look honestly at ourselves and what's going on in our hearts, confess before God, repent before him, confess, submit ourselves to him, then it gives him the chance to lift us up. It gives him the chance to do that great work in us that if we're doing this, tearing other people down, that's only going to happen in our imagination. It's not going to happen in the real world. We're going to keep distancing ourselves from God more and more and more. No, humble yourself, repent, submit, and let him, let Jesus, let the God who created everything, let him be the one who lifts you up higher and higher. Let's pray. Lord, we are so delighted in you. We are delighted to be a people called by you. And Lord, may we not load ourselves up with heavy burdens. Burdens that we choose to carry of tearing other people down just so that we might feel a little better about ourselves. Lord, help us find the true wisdom, the wisdom that comes from generosity, the wisdom that comes from purity. And Lord, when we are grieving, when we are lamenting, when we are crying out to you, Lord, don't leave us in that pit, but lift us up. Lift us up. It is in the strong name of our risen Lord Jesus that everybody said, amen.